Welcome to Go Home Heat, an NXT podcast. Jushin is here with me, KP, and we start out NXT with Kyle O'Reilly, whoever injured. No, we don't. We get the Undisputed Era out there. Mm-hmm. And Roddy, O'Reilly, and
Fish.
And O'Reilly's the one talking, and he winds up telling us that whoever hurt Cole was in trouble and that, you know, Undisputed Era is going to run things, blah, blah, blah. Number one contender match.
Well, and they kind of had to talk the way out because they had Ridge Holland set up probably as the one who hurt Adam Cole. But now Ridge Holland's, poor guy.
Right, correct.
Drastically injured in the last episode, so they have to kind of...
Moving on the fly. Mm-hmm. Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch versus Roddy Strong, Bobby Fish. Fantastic opening match.
Oh, man, what a match. They got me thinking that they might let Lorcan and Burch win.
You know, I've always loved watching Lorcan wrestle, but the last couple of times I've seen Burch wrestle, mm-hmm. he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And this was awesome. Yeah, and so they, Strong winds up getting his knee on Lorcan. Basically, Undisputed Era is just really slick at not getting pinned.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and always being in the right place at the right time. When they do eventually isolate Lorcan and get the win there, that's good. Finn's surgery update is after that. They're going to hold off on replacing him with the title. They're probably just hoping that the surgery on his broken jaw is going to be the kind of thing where he can work by the time another pay-per-view comes around.
Yeah.
That's just... Finn Balor
can't catch
has
break.
Never been healthy in the WWE.
Uh-uh.
You know, and yet they know how great he is. Mm-hmm. You just got to... That's tough, man. Ember Moon only wanted to be here once she found out she was close to being able to wrestle again. And then she rattles off the list of women that she wants to face.
Which I thought was really smart, and I think they should do that. Work her from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. And that gives her a bunch of good stuff to really reestablish her character and reestablish who she is in the ring and stuff. Don't immediately jump her up in the championship.
Right, right. And when you're a babyface, the climb can be important to your longevity of people. Because you need fans to get invested
exactly
in you. And her climbing her way back up to EO,
mm-hmm.
or EO, or whoever is the champion by then.
Yeah.
That story needs to be told, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ashante the Adonis versus Jake Atlas. And this match did not get a whole lot of time, but I think these guys are really talented.
Oh, both of them. Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And so Mendoza and Wild distract after a little while. And Atlas catches Ashante sleeping with a roll-up, or not really sleeping, but turned the other direction, uh-huh. worried about these guys running in because Ashante had gotten into it with them. At the pay-per-view, he protected Swerve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so then as Mendoza and Wild attack Ashante, Atlas helps Ashante because he's wrestling Ashante, but he is not a heel, so therefore... He doesn't think that's cool.
Yeah.
And he evens up the odds to where Legado del Fantasma leader, Santos Escobar, comes down to the ring in one of the more spectacular
jackets
green coats anybody's ever seen, looking like a boss. And as they're going to beat up Adonis and Atlas, Swerve Scott slides two chairs into the ring and brings his own. And they choose to fight another day. I don't mind this at all. I can use any... All these guys are good wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys are good characters. Mm-hmm. Any way you want to break this down to tell the story is okay with me.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay. Johnny Gargano versus Austin Theory. First of all, Johnny does an interview and lets us know that their titles will be there soon. Johnny is focused on Priest and Loomis and not Austin Theory.
Mm-hmm. And he's about to get an education.
Mm-hmm. Johnny does not do good. He does great.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he wrestles.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good. Tour de force, man.
And Austin Theory, man. Dude, I know he keeps losing, But that doesn't really matter in this situation.
No, he's an upstart.
Yeah.
And he's wrestling top guys.
Uh-huh. And looking like he belongs there.
Absolutely. And this was what's important here is he did belong there. And he was great through this whole thing. He gets the ATL and Johnny kicks out. You could call it, that could be a nickname for him too.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Wrestling.
Johnny Kickout.
Johnny Kickout.
Yeah.
He does kick out a lot. Okay. He avoids a few more ATLs, gets a super kick, lawn dart, and final heartbeat for the finish.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was Theory's best match and another day at the office for Johnny.
Yeah.
He's just so special. Raquel Gonzalez challenges Rhea Ripley at Halloween Havoc. Ripley is walking around backstage and sees all of this going on, and officials must keep them separated from one another. What did you think about all that?
I thought it was good, a little build up. You didn't have to get in the ring. You can just have that to...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Number one contender match, Shotzi Blackheart versus Candice LeRae. Shotzi's on the offensive early. LeRae gets the steel post to the face apron combo,
uh-huh,
which is an original deal there. Shotzi shows her resilience here. She gets a couple of kickouts. She misses on two sentons. When she gets Candice finally in trouble, as LeRae rolls out of the ring, Indy Hartwell hands LeRae some brass knuckles, and we get the punch and the heel 1-2-3 win. Candice with the one with the fair and square thing. I thought Shotzi looked good again. Uh-huh.
Protects her by losing in that fashion.
Indy is now the sidekick. Candice is now more formidable for good reason because she has a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets a rematch with Io. But I have more tools to bring to the table. I liked it.
A lot of, and later William Regal seemed really mad about that,
mm-hmm,
when they talked about
at
it.
At the end.
But the thing he's really mad about is that Indy Hartwell broke into his office and stole his brass knuckles.
Correct. Correct.
Because that was his gimmick for years.
Right. Right. I did not know he ever took them out of his underwear.
I didn't know that either. I just
assumed he was wearing them.
Don't want to think about that thought process all the way through, do you? How did anywhere Hartwell get them?
Because evidently he put them on his desk.
Evidently.
After sanitizing them.
Terrible. Terrible.
Okay. So then we get Tony Storm versus Aliyah with Robert Stone Brand. Aliyah, she did okay early, and then Storm Zero, pretty quick match.
This match was, ugh.
Tony Storm doesn't blow me away in the ring.
She doesn't.
She had some really good matches with Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, but people love her, and so we'll see where it goes. And two, Aliyah is only as good as what she's in there with.
Yes.
And she's in that. Her role right now is to tell some form of a story every time she walks in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never about, it's not as much about the match as it could be. Mm-hmm. And she may not be good enough to do both. I mean, you got pretty good to do both of those things really well. You know,
uh-huh,
what I mean? It's tough. Regal announces Ripley versus Gonzalez at Halloween Havoc. And Zia Lee with Boa come up and beg for a match. And Regal will consider it. Zia Lee begs further. He emphasizes that this is under consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Imperium versus Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. Speaking of how, referencing how it's hard to be a storyteller and a wrestler,
mm-hmm,
Drake Maverick, on the other hand, can do that.
Yeah.
And do it pretty well.
Yeah. Did you like his name for the team?
What was it? I forget.
The Furry and the Fury?
Yes. That was the backstage segment,
yes,
they had in here on that. And it was great.
Uh-huh.
Maverick is, you know, his whole career was more about talking until this last,
yes,
2 months, 4 months, right? And he can wrestle. We all know he can wrestle, but he's really good backstage. He's,
yes,
really good at talking. He's really good at being at... He's good at being funny in a way where he kind of walks into his own,
yes,
silliness. You know, he's
kind of, you know, he's the Costello.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely. And so then Imperium eventually, you know, they in this match, Imperium isolates Drake, and they're great wrestlers, by the way, and then eventually beat him. But that's not really the story we're telling here, because what's the name of the jobbers?
Ever Rise.
Rises again, and they come out to slap Drake around, and they don't think that Dane cares, but Dane does. Dane comes to the rescue and beats them up and sends them away, and now we may wind up having a little bit more formidable cohesion.
Yeah, nobody hits you but me.
Yes. If nobody's allowed to hit you but me, then we know he cares.
Yes.
Okay.
You're my personal punching bag.
Correct. Damian Priest versus Dexter Lumis for the North American title. How quickly did the show run?
Man, it's so quick.
Dude.
Because they wrestle.
Dude. It is quick. And this was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Lumis was robbed. First of all, Lumis should be in this match because he was robbed of his opportunity for the North American title by injury.
Uh-huh.
So Regal does the right thing because he's the best manager in the biz. He gets these two big fellas in the ring. They tie up, shoulder blocks, head blocks. Priest was excellent here. And I was surprised because I don't think a Priest is a big guy other than being tall.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not look out of place with Lumis in the
no.
muscularity moments where we're tied up,
yeah.
where we're shoulder blocking each other, where we're, you know, and part of that is Lumis's ability to tell that story too.
Oh, dude, Lumis's athleticism is freakish, dude, in all aspects of the game.
Speaking of which, piggybacking off what you just said, you have Priest, we know is athletic. Here we got Lumis jumping over a much taller Priest multiple times, doing things that you don't think a big guy can do. And even the arm drags.
Yes.
The snaps. Everything's quick. Every time somebody's shoulders hit the mat, it's kapow,
kapow. Yeah.
There's no time period
the falls. He goes from stillness to violent action in a heartbeat every time. And it makes his character more
sudden. It's a suddenness.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Outside the ring, Lumis gets it back going, and then Priest hitting with a snake eyes outside the ring.
Yes.
That was nice.
That was nice.
Now, also, Priest had him up for the
Reckoning. No, the Reckoning is the
Reckoning's the crossroads.
Yeah.
Right?
He had him up
for the razor's edge, basically. And Lumis winds up with, after he winds up getting the advantage, he winds up with the side slam, he does the side slam that he always puts into some form of a vice. What is it called?
It's a katagatami.
What he said. And Priest is so tall, he's able to get to the ropes fairly easily, which turns into a breakup, and then they wind up
on the
apron. Lumis winds up on the apron,
mm-hmm.
and the referee winds up turned away for whatever reason. And it seemed legit. Like, I don't remember it being hokey.
No, it looked good. It was quick.
Right. And Grimes,
Out of nowhere.
Double stomps him in the chest. And Priest winds up getting the win here on a choke slam after that. And I did not mind that finish. It was a quick run in. We got a result. We've set up Lumis versus Grimes,
mm-hmm.
and I would guess that Lumis, after he gets through with Grimes, will be moving on to bigger things, probably like heavyweight title picture.
Yeah.
He almost seems too good to be the North American champ.
Yeah.
He's really good.
I'm very impressed. Love everything he does in the ring, just about.
I don't know if you put a big belt on him, like how he winds up talking, because he hasn't done a whole lot of that. And I don't know how long your champ can just not say anything.
Just stare at people.
But he's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love the gimmick. I love the fact that he's an artist. I love the fact that he kind of comes out there like I didn't get dressed for work.
No.
You know what I mean? I got dressed like I get dressed, and it just so happens that I have to fight, so I took my shirt off. And
yes.
Let's do this.
Let's do.
And just amazing. And Priest is fantastic.
Yeah. And let's not sell shorts. Oh, Cameron Grimes here, dude. Cameron mm-hmm. Grimes is excellent.
Right. Now, we're going to get... Right. Cameron Grimes is the kind of little jerk that thinks he deserves everything that you can keep the belt off of for a long, long time. Your mid-card belt.
Mm-hmm.
Off of for a long, long time. Never give it to him. And he can continue to get in rivalries with people and lose them. But he's always going to take advantage of situations. So eventually you can put him in a weird match where there's mm-hmm. six people or four people or three. He can win that. And then he can do something slick to win a belt.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he's a little bit more legitimate. And you can stick him right back in there and he can build your card all the time.
Yeah.
He's perfect for any company.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's good at talking. He's irritating.
He's very punchable.
Oh, yeah. And that's, dude, there's certain ways to be good at wrestling. One of them is to have a punchable face.
Yeah, and, I love him. He's like
two fingernails going down a chalkboard.
Yeah.
All the time.
To the moon.
To the moon. Chalkboard to the moon. Right.
And Priest takes him out
mm-hmm.
after the match.
Right, and then go ahead. The Gargano's
and then out. He's... Priest is celebrating up the ramp, and Gargano wails him with the chair.
Right.
So.
Along with the wife.
Yeah.
And they are admiring.
Their handiwork.
Absolutely. And William Regal comes out so mad, it gives them a title match.
Yeah. Except. It's now a spin the wheel, make a deal match with Shotzi Blackheart as the host of Halloween Havoc. I don't know what any of those words mean.
In any particular order. Shotzi barked, which was nice.
Yes.
Oh!
Yeah, she does that.
She does that a lot, right. But I do understand that Spin the Wheel, Make a Deal was a part of Halloween.
It was.
Havoc.
It was.
And that is the Bischoff
yes.
stuff. And so to bring back the pay-per-view and bring back that is fine.
Whatever. I have no problem with that. I was picking.
Yeah. Right. Oh, dude. Why not? I don't know why.
They had some crazy matches in there. Yeah, you had the coal miner's glove on a pole match, trick or street fight, blindfold match, love blindfold match, casket match, chamber of horrors match, biker's chain match, buried alive match, devil's playground match, boiler room brawl, Shotzi's choice, weapons wild match. Some of those, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what they are.
I would think some of them overlap one another, too.
I would think so, too.
But any form of horror could be coming our way. I guarantee you Johnny can do whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, dude, Priest looks like he ought to be in a horror movie anyway.
Yeah.
Being the guy who gets killed or the killer.
Yeah.
Either way, he fits in. Right. You enjoyed the episode.
I did.
I love NXT. It's so easy to watch. And like you said, it's oh, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches or 4 matches. A little bit of talking. We're in and out. You told me stories.
Mm-hmm.
Painless.
Fun stories.
So painless. Love it. For Justin, for me, KP, this has been a Go Home Heat production. Copyright 2020. Go home.